Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. I tell you what, it's nice that we're actually getting this rain, but it's even nicer to know that the gutters and the roof was actually straightened up beforehand. This is actually two rains in a row. We're getting pretty good at it. We're getting the gutters clean right before the rain comes. This is two times in a row. But anyway, the rain here is super nice. Amen? And it looks like the Lord's allowing us to try to come out of this drought, which is a good thing. My sermon today is Everyday Worship, Everyday Worship. And actually, even though that's the title, this sermon today will actually cover marriage and parenting and our jobs, our work efforts in our workplace. And so that'll be the three things that we're covering today. And this is in continuation with Paul talking in Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be in Colossians chapter 3 today. And we'll be covering some more verses in there. Now, to start off with, Paul said something at one time. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." Now, that's an important statement that I kind of want to start this sermon with today, with Paul saying, "Follow me as I follow Christ," because the significance of that statement is the fact that Paul is saying that he would be somebody worthwhile in following if he's following Christ. And I just want to say that that's the only reason why we'd want to follow somebody is if they're actually following Jesus. A lot of times we actually follow people that are going in all kinds of directions and it's not a good direction for us to go. But in this case here, Paul says to use him as an example only when he is following Christ. And that's what I want to talk to us about today is actually having a lifestyle in our marriage and in our parenting and in our workplace in ways that actually people could follow us as we follow Christ. And that's what we'll be covering today. Now, we have an incredible opportunity. We have an incredible opportunity, every one of us do, to have a great testimony at our workplace. We have an incredible opportunity to have a testimony in our marriages and in the way that our homes are. For all the people that we see in this fallen world that we live in, that's for sure. Faith changes people. Faith changes people. Faith changes churches. Faith changes marriages. Faith changes the way that we parent. And faith changes the way that we go to work. And so that's one thing that we'll be covering today and discussing that. In other words, we can really make a difference. We can really make a difference in the way that we live. We can really make a difference in the way that we live as far as our testimony is concerned. You know, we say things like change the world and we say, well, that's really kind of a bold statement, but it's really not. If Christian families, if we followed the Word of God in our marriages and if we followed the Word of God in our parenting and if we followed the Word of God in the way that we go to work, we really could make a big difference in this world, couldn't we? And that's okay to say amen on that one if you agree with it anyway. Anyway, I think so. I'll say it. Amen. A Christian home is the only kind of home to have. A Christian home is the only kind of home to have. And I say that, and we know that there's a lot of Christian or homes that aren't Christian, but it's the only one that works. I'm going to say that again. A Christian home is the only one that works. Now, I know we have friends that maybe are unbelievers, and in those unbelieving homes, that they say that they work. But I just want to tell you, if we're living according to the way that the Word of God teaches us, we have the optimal way of living life in our homes each and every day. You know, I'll just say this in my own marriage, as I was thinking about this and I was thinking about my own marriage, and we're coming up on our 40th. I mean, we're getting really close. And so anyway, Tanya and I have been together for almost 40 years. Actually, we've been together for over 40 years because we obviously dated. We didn't just say, hey, will you marry me today? And we actually worked on it a little bit beforehand. But what I am saying is that the main thing that's made it work is the fact that there's been a desire on both of our parts to grow in the Word of God. And that's significant because I just got to tell you, when I first got married, I probably wasn't marrying material, really, to be honest with you. I thought I was. I thought I had it together. I thought I was a pretty cool dude. And I thought I was a pretty godly fellow. But as time has gone on, and I keep studying the Word of God, I realize that man, I can't believe she didn't just tell me to hit the road or something at sometimes, but she hasn't. And the one thing that's made a difference in it is the fact that I've continued to try to grow in the Word of God and get closer to God and be in my relationship with God. And not only that, but she has too. And that makes all the difference in the world, and that's what we're talking about in this message today. Now, before we start in Colossians chapter 3, I want to introduce this sermon from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you're taking notes today. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read these verses here to set up this sermon, because this is an important statement that Paul makes also in 2 Timothy. He says this in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. There will come times of difficulty. And I think we all can agree, and I mean, I know there's always been difficult times, but I think we can all agree right now we're living in some very challenging times. Amen? And we're definitely going through that. He goes on and he says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. And then he goes on and says, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. So here we see that in the last days that Paul is saying there's going to be what I'll call a supernatural pull on each person to try to pull us away from living a godly life, to pull us away from living a worship lifestyle in our life, to pull us away. And we know that right now there's a lot of things that are happening that are pulling people away from the Word of God. Amen? And we're seeing that happen. And so there's a supernatural pull, Paul is saying, that's taking people away from what is right. I understand, and I have people when I'm talking to people all the time that say that this is just normal, that's always been this way. But I don't think it's always been this way. I believe it's worse. As a matter of fact, in my lifetime, I've watched it go from one extreme to a complete another extreme. And we see it continue to get worse and worse. And so this is one of the reasons, brothers and sisters, that we have to keep growing. We have to keep growing. Because if we don't keep growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we don't keep growing, then what we will do is we'll fall sway to this supernatural pull that's taking place. We've got to fight against this tide that's going on. And so we know that there's a pull out there, and we know that we're to be fighting against it, and we're to try to live a life that honors God. And I got to tell you, if you're an adult in here and you get married, there is a pull to destroy your marriage. If you're a child, and I know that we let the kids go to children's church, but our children, there's a supernatural pull in our schools and in our world that we're living in to try to pull them away from the things of God. And I want to say that there is a supernatural pull in our occupations, believe it or not. I know we say it's just work, but we know that the way that companies are operating these days are quite different than the way they operated a few years ago. They start putting more humanistic thought in it. As a matter of fact, my mind goes back to one day that we were sitting in a meeting when I worked for a company, and I'll leave the name out. And anyway, we were sitting there and we were having a meeting, and we were supposed to close our eyes and take our mind to another place, you know, to kind of like go through some kind of exercise. Well, what I wanted to do, and I sat there and I didn't do anything with it, and I said, I'm going to talk to God about it and get my mind in the right place. That's what I'm going to do. And one of the people that was conducting it actually said, Mr. Murphy, are you participating in this? And I said, no, I'm participating in my own thing. Thank you. I'm actually talking to God. That's the way that I meditate. I don't do this other kind. But, I mean, we know that those things are creeping in to our jobs as well. So let's get started on this message today. The first one is the Christian marriage. The Christian marriage. And let's talk about the Christian marriage. I'm going to be reading to you to set this up in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. The first verse that I'm going to read is verse 18. I'm going to read verse 18, and then we're going to talk about it, and then move on to verse 19. This is one of those verses that I will say that we talk about slander. This is one of those verses that gets slandered nowadays. This is one of those verses that even some preachers even will try to leave out of their messages. And I think you'll see why when I read the verse. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord." That's the verse right there. And so when we hear that, we think, wives are to submit to their husbands. And we hear things now like, this is not supposed to happen in the times that we live in now. But I just want to make some clarifications about what Paul is saying and what Paul is not saying and what God is saying versus what God is not saying in this verse. The first thing that I want to say is this verse is not about control. It's not about control. It's not like God issuing some kind of antiquated control as far as the way of a marriage is supposed to work. That's not what's happening here. What we're seeing here is God is prescribing order for a marriage. But I want to say this also. God doesn't just prescribe order for marriages. God prescribes order for churches. God prescribes order in everything that He does. The Bible tells us that God does everything decently and in order. He doesn't do things chaotic. And so it's not a prescription here for anything else than having an order to it. This is like you look at Adam and Eve. And one of the things that happened there is certainly we, like Adam, we're going to answer, the husbands are going to answer to God for how our homes are ran. Amen? The husband's going to answer to God. He's the one that's going to answer to God for how his home is ran. And so it's important that we do things like this. This is kind of like in the military, the way that if you look in the Greek, the way that it's written out, it is actually expressed in a way like in a military sense, like in particular ranks, and you have the ranks to where everything operates in a certain way, and certain people answer for what happens with their particular organization or their group or whatever. So we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion. He wants things done very well, decently in order. And so we see this, and we see that God's going to require the husband to speak to him about how his home was ran. That means as a man in your home, you're going to give account for how your household is ran according to not any answering to anybody else, but answering to God himself, to Jesus himself as far as it's concerned. And so it's not going to be like Adam where it's like, well, the woman made me do it. There's not going to be any blame shifting like that. That doesn't work. God knows what's going on. You can't blame shift with God. And so as we look at this here, we see this here, and what I want to say to the husbands in here today, that you will, I will, we will answer to God for how things are going in our home. That's for sure. Now, it's not to actually issue power over somebody. It's a mode of operation. And that's an important thing for us to get. Now, the next thing that I want to say is when we look at this verse here, we see that wives submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Let's look at this term, it is fitting. It is fitting for the husband to be a godly man. It is fitting for the husband to be a godly man. So when it says, wives submit to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord is talking to, and when we look at this, the Lord is talking to Christian homes. If this was not a Christian home that we were talking about, I'm just going to tell you this formula doesn't work. It doesn't work, and a lot of people, and I want to say that before I became educated in the Word of God and I was a silly young man, I used to think, I'm going to be the one in charge of my home because I thought that was somebody. But what I found out is there's a lot more to it than we ever stop and think about. And so let's look at some of this. Here's one thing that will help us understand this a little bit better. Put in your notes Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now that's the first one that I want to talk about here. And this is Paul, and when we say, well, how does this work as far as it's fitting for this to work this way? Well, one of the things that a husband is commanded in the Word of God to do is to love his wife the way that Christ loves the church. Well, how does Christ love the church? Pretty sacrificial, huh? He gave everything for the church. He served the church. And then the response of the church is to love him back. It reciprocates. And so when we look at this here and we see the, the order of things. The order of things is for the husband to actually be somebody that exemplifies Christ and loves his wife in a way that he gives to her. And then look at verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, it goes on and says, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies." And so, I don't know about you, but last time I checked, people really like themselves most of the time. I mean, I guess we could have a few exceptions, but when we look at this here, we take care of ourselves, don't we, men? We make sure that we get something to eat. We make sure that we're comfortable. And what it's saying here is it's saying that we should love our wives as much as we love ourselves. And that's the way that Christ gave his life for the church here and everything. Now, he goes on and says, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Now, that's an interesting statement because if we love our wife and give sacrificially to our wives, it actually says something about who we are. And we wouldn't want to destroy ourselves if we really cared about ourselves. And we certainly wouldn't want to destroy our wives either. "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church." And we know that Christ loves the church and gives everything for us, don't we? So, when we look at this here, this is talking about some accountability, the accountability to God. We are accountable, the men are accountable to God for how they love their wives and how we lead our homes and making sure that our homes are places that are godly. And I just want to tell you, this is really important to each and every husband here. It is a grave responsibility. It's a grave responsibility. Why? Because you will give account to God for how you did it. In other words, God really cares about how much we love our wives. God really does care how much we love our children. God wants us to do this. He wants us to provide and care for them. Now, I know that's probably not the way that a lot of people would explain it, but that's exactly what's happening here. Now, let's move on down to verse 19. In verse 19, the Word of God says, turn my page here. "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. That's the next verse there. It tells us that we're to love our wives and not be harsh with them. I just got to say that the marriage has got to go past the romantic stage. I mean, I know that we talk about when a couple's getting married and everything, it's so romantic and wonderful, but it's got to go way past that romantic stage. Because the romantic stage is something that maybe gets things started and that kind of thing, but when we look at it here, a marriage has to get down to a point of service. Why do I say that? When you see this here, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." It's not talking about in a romantic sense here. The love in this verse here is agape, and it's a godly love. And so what the Word of God is saying in Colossians 3:19 is, in the way that God loves, we are to love our wives. And so we are a picture of Christ and the church. A marriage is a picture of Christ and the church, and the way that Christ is sacrificial for His church. And the church responds in love. It's a reciprocating thing. If a husband will love his wife and in a serving way, then it makes it so much easier for her to love back, doesn't it? And that's what it's talking about. So it's got to go past the point of a romantic stage to the point of actually a sacrificial stage where a husband is giving and giving and giving and giving the way that God gives and gives and gives. Amen? And so we look at this picture of Christ in the church. Now, this "do not be harsh." Let's talk about that part of the verse here, where it's saying, "do not be harsh." You know, we all know that there's some men that push their weight around. And that's ungodly. That's ungodly. And that makes it really hard for a wife to be able to be submissive. And really, when it becomes abusive, a wife should not be. There is no place for abuse in a marriage. There's no place for it. And so when it says, "do not be harsh," there's no place for a godly husband to be pushing his weight around. Now, let me just say this, and this is important for every every man to hear, and not just to hear, but to be reminded about. When we look at this here, the wife is submitting to us as a worship towards God. In other words, it's not my demand for, hey, you've got to be submissive to me, the husband says. It's more of a choice of her saying, I'm going to worship God in the way that I live. But she's not worshiping God if she's being submissive to somebody that's being harsh and abusive. I hope that makes sense. Trust is easy. Trust is easy when the one leading is a godly person. Trust is easy when the one that leading is a godly person. And that's why I say this, Paul is talking to Christians in this church. Because outside of a man actually working every day to serve God with everything that he's got, because if he's got the Spirit of God in him, he's not going to be abusive. And he's not going to be harsh. And he's going to be loving and sacrificial, and he's going to be concerned for the best for his wife and for his home. And so we look at this here, and when the husband is actually really striving to be godly, that's when it's easiest to actually do what the Bible says. And so, in context, when we looked at the rest of Colossians chapter 3 and in Colossians chapter 2 and 1, remember we've been talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. I mean, we talked about that last week and the week before. And what I want to say is, this is only possible when you have a couple that is putting off the old person and is putting on the new person. And therefore, you've got two people that are going towards Christ and what God's Word says. And then the home works. And so there has to be some spirituality in it. And that's why it's saying that we're to love our wives and not be harsh with them. And that's a very important thing. Now, the next thing that I want to say is a marriage that is going to work is like this. Listen, it's not about, man, I need you, or the other person needs that person, and they need each other. What they need, what a good marriage needs, is both parties needing God. And if the thing that will make a marriage work is whenever the husband is doing everything that he can for the glory of God. In other words, living a worshipful lifestyle in everything that he does. And then the woman doing the same thing. And so my biggest concern is not how much my wife is actually serving and loving me as much as it's serving Jesus. And if she's serving Jesus with all she's got and I'm serving Jesus with all I've got, our marriage is going to cook with gas. It is. And that's what it's saying here. It'll work very well. This is what's needed today. This is very much needed today. But the people take these verses and they misconstrue them. They misconstrue them. And I just want to say that is just really unfortunate. But it's important before I get to my next point to know that there is never, ever a place for a man to be harsh. And it's nowhere in the Bible that says that a woman is supposed to be taking that kind of thing. It's a serving kind of thing from the man serving and loving and the way that Christ loves the church, and then it's easier for this whole formula to work. Now, that's not just in this, but it's also going into the second part here. My second part today here is Christian parenting. Let's move on down to verses 20 and 21. Let's look at Christian parenting here for a moment. Well, we know that the Word of God tells us that children are to obey their parents. And so the children are to obey their parents. And then as we get older, we should be honoring our parents. But when they're children, we should be obeying them. And then as we get older, we honor our parents. The Word of God says here, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I guess I should have kept them in here where they could hear that verse today, right? But I'm sure they'll get reminded of this when they get home. But the Bible tells us, and believe me, this is something that my mom and dad were always talking about, is God wanted me to be an obedient child to my parents. But once again, in a godly home, in a home where the husband loves the wife and is serving the wife and he's going for God's heart, and the wife is doing the same thing, it makes it so much easier for the children to be able to do this. One of the things that's happening that we're seeing in the world today is that we're finding it hard for kids to be able to obey something that's really not obeyable. As a matter of fact, it can be destructive, and it's really sad. But it says, "For this pleases the Lord." Once again, we're talking about a godly home here, where the family is operating in a godly way under the man's leadership as he answers to God for how that home's going to go. I know that the men in here right now are probably thinking, "Man, I feel like I'm getting picked on." Let me just tell you this, while you feel picked on, you will give account to God, you will. I will, we will. That's for sure. And then it says, "For this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." In other words, he's saying when we actually provoke our children, they become discouraged. We can literally squish our children. So what do children need? What do children need? Children need a godly home. That's what this country needs. That's what this world needs, is godly homes for children to be able to grow up properly. And we know that this is less and less and less all of the time, and we're seeing the results of it in our schools, aren't we? And in the behaviors of our children. Children need to see a dad who loves his wife and serves his wife. Children need to see that. And you know what? Children need to see a dad that loves his wife and everything, so she can actually reciprocate and love her husband back. That's the way that the godly home works here. It's an act of worship. And guess what? We are on display. You know, we think so much about our testimonies. We think so much about our testimonies when we're out in public. But there is a testimony taking place in our homes, isn't there? There's a testimony of a godly man and a godly woman before the children, to where the children can see what it's supposed to be. We got to at least give them a fighting chance, don't we? We got to give them a shot, don't we? We've got to do this. Now, this doesn't guarantee, and I know some people think, well, if I bring my kids to church and I raise them in a godly home, that's a guarantee they'll automatically become godly. But that's not true either. They have to do this, and these things actually have to happen where God makes them a new person as well. But the thing that will make it most possible for them to be a new person is if they see it exemplified in the home. I didn't say Sunday school. I said the home. And that's an important thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with Sunday school, and they certainly learn a lot there. But what we teach in Sunday school should be what they see in the home. That's for sure. It's an act of worship, the way that we live. It's an act of worship in the way that we live our married life. It's an act of worship in the way that we exemplify that to our children. Balanced parenting, I'll call it. Balanced parenting is a hard, spirit-filled work. In other words, to be a balanced and godly parent requires us to be spirit-led individuals. Spirit-led parents. Amen? We've got to be spirit-led parents because we need wisdom from God. We were talking about the other day, how did we even know how to be a parent? I mean, when we had our first child, I was 22 years old. I promise you, I had no clue on how to be a parent. And I'm not sure I still know very well how to be a very good parent. But the issue is here is that we need God's direction. And what I want to tell you is if we will have a godly home and we'll be the godly husband and we'll be the godly father for the men, and if we'll be the godly mothers and the godly women in our home, then we will be led by God's Spirit and we will be able to do it in a correct fashion because we're hearing the Word of God, we're having God speak to us, we have Him leading, we have an advantage that way. I know some people are like, really? Really? That's for real. That the Spirit of God does help us in these things. But when we talk about balanced parenting, we need to discipline, but we need to discipline with godly wisdom. Why do I say this? Because it says, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So we should be just like punishing them and punishing them and punishing them for everything. There has to be some wisdom behind it. There needs to be some wisdom behind it. And I hope that makes sense. It shouldn't ever be out of an anger situation. Shouldn't ever be out of an anger situation. But we need to actually parent with some godly wisdom. And sometimes we need to give them a break. And what happens is we need God's wisdom on when they need that discipline and when they need to be given a break. Why? Because Paul says we don't want to provoke them to where it discourages them. And when we look at this here, it's an important thing for us to understand that they're living in a tough world. You know, a lot of times we look at our kids and we think, isn't it so cute and funny that they're having a problem at school and they come home and little Jimmy was mean to them or Susie was mean to them or something like that. And we go, it's just little kids. I want us to stop and realize that everything that our children go through and our grandchildren go through, those are things that are very real to those children, just as real as your problems are to you. And sometimes we just look at it like, it's so cute or something. But it's not cute. And we need to have wisdom on how to help them through those particular things. That's for sure. Home with mom and dad needs to be a safe place. A safe refuge. A godly home. We don't need to be introducing things that will damage them. They need a godly home. Because it's a tough world. They need a safe refuge for a tough world. We say that the church is a refuge. But our homes should be a refuge as well in the godly home. That's for certain. Proverbs 22:6 says that to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old they won't depart from it. And so when we look at this here, what that is saying is this, that we need to pay attention to what their interests are because they are made by God. I know that some people in our society today don't believe that our kids are made by God and they're dispensable, but they're not. And we know this. They're valuable, and they're made by God, and God gives them interest, and God gives them abilities and particular talents. And so when we look at Proverbs 22:6, it's telling us to train up a child in the way that should go. We should be paying attention as parents with the wisdom from God of doing, wow, they have this particular interest and this particular talent. I'm really going to work with that because that is something that's telling us who God has made them to be. And that's what that verse is saying. I know that some people think that means that if we raise them in a godly home, that guarantees that they will become a Christian. That's not true. Everybody has to accept Jesus Christ on their own two feet. They have to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for their sins, and that He rose again, and they need to repent of their sins and submit to God and let God be their Lord and Savior. That goes for every last person. But once again, the godly home makes that easier, at least. Doesn't guarantee it, but it certainly makes it easier. And so we need to train them up in the Word of God and at least give them a chance to give them a shot at it. Discouraged kids are at the doorway of trouble. Discouraged kids are at the doorway of trouble. And so we need to be very careful and have wisdom from the Word of God on how to have a godly home and pay attention and do everything that we can to not discourage and provoke our kids. This is the last thing that I'll say before I move on to my third and final point this morning. For the dads, the dad wants to be the dad that makes it easy to trust the Father. The dad needs to be the dad that makes it easy to trust the Heavenly Father. Why do I say that? So many people look at their relationship with their dad as they were growing up, and they had a dad that was not godly. They had a home that wasn't godly. And so then when we hear that God is our Heavenly Father and that we can trust Him, they have a hard time trusting, don't they? One of the things that the Spirit of God has to do is to help them overcome a bad picture of what a good father should be. Because we know that the Heavenly Father is a perfect Father and loves us. And gives everything. So we want to be the dad that makes it easy to trust the Father. But we want to be the moms that show them how to serve in a home and love and that kind of thing. We need to be that example. We need to have that testimony. Now, that leads to the third and final point this morning as we move on down in Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verse 22. And we're going to be talking about my third point this morning is the Christian work life. When we go to work, nobody likes to hear this term that the Bible uses as a servant. You say, I'm not a servant. But we are. But we are. We are. I just disobey your boss a few times and see if you still get a paycheck a few weeks later. I don't know. It seems like there are so many open jobs and not enough people working now that maybe they can get away with anything anymore. But when I was growing up, you did what your boss said or you got fired. That's for sure. And so we don't like to look at ourselves as servants. We go, they don't care anything for me, so why should I care? But I just want us to understand this and the thing that Paul is saying, and the reason why I started with follow me as I follow Christ, is we are not actually answering to the boss at our job. Who are we answering to? We're answering to our Heavenly Father. We're answering to our Heavenly Father when we go to work. We are actually working for our Heavenly Father. That means that the Christian should be the best employee, not the worst. The best employee, not the worst. And so it's important that we look at this. In verse 22, the Word of God says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." This is a very important verse because it's telling us that we do our jobs and we do them well to please God, not our employer. If we please God, our employer will be pleased. At least that's the way it should be, and that's what Paul is saying. Once again, got to keep from making this point clear. These set of verses are for Christians who care about what the Word of God says. Some people don't care what the Word of God says and don't want to hear what the Word of God says about their marriage, don't want to hear what the Word of God says about their parenting, and don't want to hear what the Word of God says about how we go to work. But for those Christians that do, this will make all the difference. And what this is saying is the way that we do all these things are a part of the way that we worship our Heavenly Father and the way that we worship Jesus. The Christian should not be the problem child at work, right? We shouldn't be the problem child at work. We should be dependable. We should be the most dependable. And so this kind of gives the boss man different meaning, doesn't it? Because the boss man is God. That's the boss. Now, look at verse 23. Let's sum this up. I'm going to read to you Colossians 3:23, and we'll read all the way down to 4:1, and then we're going to wrap this sermon up today. Verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." That is such an important verse. Everything that we do it with everything that we've got for the Lord, not for men. I'm not doing it for men. When we look at the verse where it says that we don't serve our masters, our bosses, or whatever you want to call them, with eye service means that out of sight, out of mind. Because Paul is reminding us that God is reminding us in His Word that God is always watching. So God is always watching the way that we parent. God is always watching the way that we love each other in our marriages. And God is watching how we're going to work. "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." And then chapter 4, verse 1. "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So even if you are the boss at work, you're going to answer to Jesus for how you do that. Everything that we do will not go unaccounted. I know a lot of people do a lot of things right now and think, "I'm getting away with it. I'm getting away with it. I'm being a bad husband. I'm getting away with it. I'm being a bad kid and I'm getting away with it. I'm being a bad employee. I'm getting away with it." No, you're not. No, we won't. God is watching and we will give account. That's so crazy because people keep saying, "Well, I don't see him here now and I don't seem to be getting any repercussions for anything that I'm doing." And I just got to say that every one of us will stand before God someday. As a matter of fact, what I will say also is, as far as this accountability thing and this submission thing and all of these things, even a pastor is going to give account for how he actually leads in a church to God for how he does it. And so that's one of the reasons why I say that our roles are important, by the way. Because how can I give account for somebody that I don't even know? It's not fair and it's not right, and that's part of what I should be attending to too. But anyway, that's another sermon. I kind of swerved off the road a little bit on that one. Sorry about that. So whatever we do, our marriages, our parenting, and the child of the parents, in our churches, in our jobs, in our relationships, they are all acts of worship that we will give account for. And that's what the Word of God wants us to know, that we look at here. And I just want to say that God judges fairly. God judges fairly. He's not like up there, judging unfairly and go, man, I got ripped off by God. I'm telling you that when we do things in our marriage the way that we're supposed to do it, when we do the things in our home the way that we're supposed to do it, when we do things at the way that we at work the way that we're supposed to do it, and the way in our church the way that we're supposed to do it, we are going to get rewarded for it. Does everybody hear that? God is just. And we also will give account for how we do in a bad way. And so I want to just say, be fair in your leadership. Be fair in your leadership because you will answer to God, that's for sure. And I want to say this also. Loyalty to me, I don't know about you, I think that we all probably would agree with this. Loyalty is a big deal. Loyalty is a big deal. Loyalty is a big deal in a marriage. Loyalty is a big deal in a home and in a church and at work. Loyalty is a big deal. And I'm going to tell you that there's nobody more loyal than our Heavenly Father. And so we're to be loyal in everything that we do. We need to think about loyalty in a brand new way. And that brand new way is everything that I'm doing is out of my loyalty to a Heavenly Father. That's what the Word of God is telling us here. He's the one that we ultimately serve. And so one of the things that He's going to do as a just Heavenly Father is there's going to be some people that disregard what the Word of God says. They're going to disregard, and they think that they don't have to listen to the Word of God. And there's particular groups of people that someday the judge is going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." Because they never submitted to a holy and righteous God and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so it's an important thing that we understand that He is a just judge. And I just want to remind everybody here, besides what we've talked about in terms of how we live in our marriage and homes and jobs, that it's important that we someday know that we are going to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I just want you to know that He's giving you that invitation today. I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. And if we will repent of your sins and ask Him in your heart and give Him your life, He will save you. He's loyal. And He's just to do it. And so, with that being said, the last thing that I want to say as we close today is we need to know who it is that we worship and serve. We should know who it is that we worship and serve. It's Jesus. Jesus is in charge of our marriages. Jesus is in charge of our homes. Jesus is in charge of us and our jobs. Amen.